Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is Thursday, August 25th. Well, the majority of markets were down a tad in here today, not in any kind of dynamic way, and not least because the market is holding its breath to a certain extent ahead of Janet Yellen's speech at Jackson Hole tomorrow. So, when we look at markets, it's probably good to take a step back and just have a little reality check, and that is that the S&P 500 is currently pausing below 2200. It's about 100 points above the 200-day moving average, so there is the potential for some additional consolidation. Then it's a similar story for the Dow and the Nasdaq. When we look at Europe, then the DAX and a number of the Northern European indices are trading above their respective 200-day moving averages. The FTSE 100 is trading well above its moving average, and not least because it has benefited from the devaluation of the pound. But even when you begin to strip out the currency effect, then the index is doing a bit better. And not least because of the prospect for improving standards of governance, or at least market-friendly reforms that could be instituted in the aftermath of the UK leaving the EU. Then when we look at Asia, staying with Europe for a moment, the majority of indices, though, are right in the region of their respective 200-day moving averages. And they do need to sustain moves above them. There are currently fewer are trading above than below their MAs, but they're all pretty much right there in the region of the trend mean. And considering that there have been progressions of lower rally highs for more than a year, then those progressions would need to be broken to really indicate that demand is back in the driver's seat. Now, there is a great deal of conversation going on about the efficacy of monetary policy. How much can it continue to be extended? And I think that those discussions need to be put in the context of what has been tried so far and what can be tried next, since there is a whole menu of options that central bankers can might once have deemed to be unacceptable, and yet the realm of what has been deemed to be acceptable has expanded really quite considerably in the last 6 years. So there is no reason to suggest that that isn't going to continue to be the case. Therefore, the discussions about how effective monetary policy can be can only sensibly be made about what has been tried so far. Because we obviously don't know how reliable anything that hasn't yet been tried is likely to be. But there are plenty of things that can be tried. But what it is indeed fueling is this talk of fiscal stimulus. That is something that Europe hasn't had. And in fact, it has been abiding by a very strict fiscal consolidation for the last 6 years. Now, it would be very bullish for European stock markets if they were to abandon that fiscal conservatism and push for a fiscal stimulus. Then we could see the European indices really playing catch up with the position and valuation that we see on Wall Street today. And that really would be a very bullish catalyst. So it is something to keep an eye on, and that is why it is worth monitoring what is happening in Europe. By the same token, if we continue to see ineffectual policies, then the likelihood of the European equity markets being able to sustain a break above their trend means in the absence of significant devaluation of the euro would appear to be more difficult, which would lead to a more rangy, more volatile environment overall. And the majority of indices in Asia were in negative territory today, but again, not in a dynamic fashion. And it was a quiet day overall in the currency markets, where the pound was down a bit, the euro was up just a tad, the dollar was a little bit firmer against the yen, but generally speaking, a very quiet environment. But that wasn't the case for all currencies. And then it really does come back to governance, because the South African rand pulled back rather sharply again in here today. This is three consecutive days now, and it's all on the back of continued political turmoil that you pretty much have a single party rule, because the ANC is such a large party and Zuma's administration is so incredibly volatile, and then the institutions that have supported free markets in South Africa remain under threat, and those are the independence of the judiciary, the respect for minority shareholder rights, and indeed property rights, and they are under threat, but they're still intact, which is holding the South African market together. But yet this political turmoil is certainly not good for confidence. So the government bond yield has popped on the upside, the rand has declined, and the equity market has been shielded nominal terms, but the US dollar denominated ETF has pulled back rather sharply. And what it is a very good example of is that improving governance is rewarded and deteriorating governance is punished, and particularly in an environment where people are spoiled for choice in terms of where they can put their money. So even with 8.5% and 9% government bond yields, they can't be encouraged to go into South Africa, whereas you continue to see contracting emerging market spreads elsewhere, where there really is the prospect of improving governance. And in the commodity complex today, well, natural gas was additionally firm, and it has bounced rather impressively from that $2.50 area and the region of the 200-day moving average. And considering that the long range is between about just less than $2 and upwards between $4 and $5, we're just about in the middle of the range. So it really would need a sustained move below the trend mean to really question potential for additional upside over the medium term, at least back up towards the upper side of that long range. Oil prices were a little bit steadier again in here today and continue to hover here below the $50 area. It was another reasonably weak day, but certainly not in the dynamic fashion that we saw yesterday for the precious metals. Gold was down just $2, silver down about 5 cents, but palladium was in positive territory, while platinum was in mildly negative territory, and they're rapidly now closing their overextensions relative to their respective 200-day moving averages, and that really will be the testing point for the bullish hypothesis. Personally, I'm getting more interested. I'm watching them rather closely, but I don't feel any need to preempt the market. I'm more than happy to get in on the first upward dynamic and potentially miss the bottom by being a little bit more cautious, because we're not quite at those trend means just yet, and there's no evidence that that's not exactly what they're going to do, is close those overextensions completely. And elsewhere in the commodity sector, it was a relatively weak day for the grains and beans and animal products, where we've had downward dynamics right across the boards. And then it is interesting to point out those that were steadier. And rough rice, having had a very big decline over the last 3 months, has steadied. White sugar was up in here today, and it has been largely range-bound in a reasonably steady consolidation of its impressive gain earlier this year. And so long as that is still in that range and gradually unwinding the overbought condition, then it continues to look reasonably bullish. And Arabica coffee, having been down yesterday, was up in here today and is looking increasingly like a reasonably bullish consolidation, having broken out of or at least broken a lengthy progression of lower rally highs. So we are seeing evidence of commodities trading on their individual merits rather than as a single unit. And in the bond markets, yields were pretty much universally a little bit firmer in here today, but again not in a dynamic fashion. And when we look ahead to what is it that Janet Yellen is likely to say, well, we know that she's a very cautious individual, and she's unlikely to want to upset the markets, and not least as we approach or we're increasingly close to a presidential election in the USA. I continue to believe that one of the things that really does move the needle for the Fed is average hourly earnings. And if that were to break above 2.6%, well then I believe the Fed will raise rates pretty soon afterwards. They want to get out ahead of inflation, not least because they have so many bonds on their portfolio. And the ability of the Treasury to refinance that debt is going to become an issue that is really front and center from probably the end of next year onwards. So I think the Fed would probably like to have bond yields low for the foreseeable future. But at the same time, they absolutely have to get out in front of inflation, and wage demands are something that really do move the needle in terms of inflation. And when you look at a number of U.S. cities and they're advocating for $15 minimum wages, and a significant number of cities have already introduced or are in the process of introducing those high minimum wages, then that's where the inflation is coming from. That is where the potential for asset price inflation and wage inflation are coming from. So it might not be evident in the statistics just yet, but it is where you can envisage some inflationary pressures coming in the next few years. So I continue to keep an eye on that. It's only updated once a month, but I think that is the thing that the Fed is most likely to respond to. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.